സംസാര സാഗരേ മഗ്നം ദീനം മാം കരുണാനിധേ കർമ്മഗ്രാഹരൈതാംഗം മാമുദ്ധര ഭാരവാൻ ശ്രീമദ്ഭാഗവതാഖ്യോയം പ്രത്യക്ഷ കൃഷ്ണ ഏവ ഹി ശ്രീകൃതോ ശ്രീനാഥ മുഖ്യത്തം ഭവസാഗരേ മനോരഥേ മദിയോയം സഫലാ സവരാത്വയാ നിർവിഘ്നേ കർത്തവ്യം ദാസോഹം തവ കേശവ ഭവേ ഭവേ യഥാഭക്തി പാദയോസ്തവ ജായതേ തഥാ കുരുഷ്വ ദേവേശ നാഥസ്ത്വം നോ യത പ്രഭോ നാമ സങ്കീർത്തനം യസ്യ സർവഭാവ പ്രണാശനം പ്രണാമോ ദുഃഖശമനം നമാമി ഹരിം പരം ജന്മാദ്യശ്ചയ ദുർവരാ ഇതരദശ്ചർത്ഥേഷ്വഭിജ്ഞസ്വരാ തേനേ ബ്രഹ്മഹൃദായ ആദികവേ മുഹ്യന്നിയസ്സൂരയാ തേജോപാലിമൃതം യഥാ വിനിമയോ യത്ര ത്രിസർഗോ മൃഷ ധാമ്നാ സദാതിരസ്തകുഹകം സത്യം പരം ധീമഹി ധർമ്മപ്രോജിത കൈന്ദ്രഗോത്രധരമോ നിർമ്മത്സരാണാം സദാ വേര്യം വാസ്തവമത്രവത്സു ശിവദം താവത്രയോന്മൂലനം ശ്രീമദ്ഭാഗവതേ മഹാമുനിവൃതേ കിം വാ പരേശ്വര സദ്യോ ഹൃദ്യവരുദ്ധ്യ നേത്ര കൃതുഭി ശുശ്രൂഷുഭി തക്ഷണാം നിഗമകൽപ്പതലോകഗതം ഭവനം ശുഭമുഖാദ്രവ സംയുതം പിബലാ ഭാരതം രസമാലയം മുഹുരഹോ രസിലാഭുവി ഭാരുകാ സച്ചിദാനന്ദരൂപായ വിശ്വോൽപത്യായി ഹേതവേ താവത്രയനാശായ ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണായ വയം നമഃ യംപ്രവൃതജന്തം അനുവേദം അഭേദകൃത്യം ദൈവായനോ വിരഹാരമജുഹ പുത്രേ കർമ്മയതയത്തരവോഭിനേതു തം സർവഭൂതഹൃദയം മുനി ആനതോസ്മി യശാനുഭാവമഖില ശ്രുതിസാരമേകം അദ്യാത്മദീപം അതിനിവേശതാം നമോന്നം സംസാരിണാം കരുണയാഹ പുരാണഗുഹ്യം തം യമസൂയം ഉപയാമി ഗുരും മുനീനാം നാരായണം നമസ്കൃത്യ നരം ചൈവ നരോത്തമം ദേവീം സരസ്വതീം വ്യാസം തതോ ജയമുദീരേ കമനീയ കിശോരമുഗ്ധമൂർത്തേ കളവേണു പുനിതാദൃതാനന്ദോ മമ വാചി വിജൃംഭരാ മുരാരേ മധുരേന കവിതാഭി കാഭികാവിലേ നമോം വിഷ്ണുപദായ കൃഷ്ണപ്രസായ ഭൂതലെ ശ്രീമദേ ഭക്തിവേദാന്തസ്വാമിനി നാമിനേ നമസ്തേ സരസ്വതി ദേവി ഗൗരവാണി പ്രകാരിണി നിർവിശേഷ ശൂന്യവാദി പാശ്ചാത്യദേശധാരിണേ ശ്രീഗുരുചരണാരവിന്ദാഭ്യാം വന്ദേ നന്ദവ്രജ സ്ത്രീണാം പാദരേണുമഭീഷ്ണശ യാസം ഹരികരോ ഗീയം പുരാദീ ഭുവനത്രയം ഗോപീചരണാരവിന്ദ പരമാണവേ നമ പീതാംബരം കരവിരാജിതചക്രശംഖം കൗമോദകീ സരസിജം കരുണാസമുദ്രം രാധാസഹായം അതിസുന്ദരമന്ദഹാസം വാതാലേശമനിശം പ്രതിഭാവയാമി കോമളം കൂജയം വേണം ശ്യാമലോയം കുമാരവ വേദവേദ്യപരം ബ്രഹ്മ ഭാസദാം പുരതോ മമാം മൂകം കരോതി വാചാലം പങ്കുമം ലംഘയകേകിം യൽകൃപാതഹം വന്ദേ പരമാനന്ദമാധവം ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണായ നമഃ ശ്രീഹരിയായ നമഃ സർവത്ര ഗോവിന്ദനാമസങ്കീർത്തനം ഗോപിന്ദ ഗോവിന്ദ.
Last Sunday, we talked about the 10th chapter in the Canto 11. As I mentioned before, so many times, that this chapter, 10th chapter in the Canto 11, is the philosophy, what Krishna has given in a nutshell to Uddhava. What will happen from now, after chapter 10, is whatever Krishna has spoken in the 10th chapter, he will expand on that. Each point what he has covered here in the 10th chapter is going to expand that in the subsequent chapters up to chapter 31, where Uddhavadesham finishes. Instructions to Uddhava finishes there. So, that's why this chapter requires a lot more reflection on the points what Krishna has spoken. Because if you reflect on the points what Krishna has spoken here, you can see the gravity of this chapter and the gravity of instructions to Uddhava as well. That Krishna has, of course, due to Krishna's mercy, Uddhava was able to understand many things without being spoken in detail. But for our benefit, for those who come after Krishna's departure from this planet, keeping them in their mind, Uddhava asked several questions to Krishna to go for more clarity, and which was explained later. Vilakshanastula sushmal dehad almechida aswadre yadhagnar daruno dahyo dahagonya pragashagaha. You will see that verse. It's such an important verse. Vilakshanastula sushmal dehad almechida aswadre yadhagnar daruno dahyo dahagonya pragashagaha. Krishna is saying that Uddhava, that from the, as long as you are in the gross bodily level of the bodily understanding means not only identification with the body, also identification with the mind, identification with intelligence, identification with false ego, identification with senses, all that is included in that. That's why I say the stulam and sushmam side is spoken in that way, the gross and the subtle side. Vilakshana stula sushmal dehad almekshida sudrak. Then Krishna is the sudrak here. Sudrak means one who is witnessing and seeing everything. Everything he is witnessing. Why it is spoken so important is that we have developed this understanding that nothing is seen by Krishna. How without Krishna noticing anything, if we can do something, we'll do it in this world. That's our nature, isn't it? We get everything, if we can get away with not being caught by anyone, it's fine. But we don't realize it, that there is another higher thing watching. That is that sodrak, and that sodrak is inside watching. So as soon as we do something which is against the principles of Krishna consciousness or religious activity, who notices that first? Sodrak notices that. Sodrak is witnessing. Sodrak doesn't require cameras and all other instruments. Sodrak is inside. So Sodrak watches from that. That's why that word is mentioned there. Vilakshana stula sushmal dehal atma ikshida sodrak. Atmava, ikshidam and sodrak. Three things. Ikshida means one who is experiencing it also. Who is experiencing it also. He knows what you are experiencing when you do a good thing or a bad thing. What you are experiencing, he is experiencing as well. So, I mentioned this before also. Experience and perception are two different things. We shouldn't mix them together. Perception is what we see through the senses. If you remember, we talked about it last class also. Perception is what you are engaged in through your senses. Through senses you see things, through senses, especially these five senses of knowledge, which is sound, touch, form, taste and smell. Only these five things is this world also, nothing more than that. If you think about it, that's why if you see in the Bhagavad Gita, when you present Krishna in the chariot, that five horses are shown there, to show us these horses are the senses. Isn't it? Horses are the senses, or the sense objects, can say. And as I mentioned at that time when we discussed Bhagavad Gita, this has come from Kathopanishad. Kathopanishad is the background of those verses in Bhagavad Gita. Prabhupada quotes them also in the Bhagavad Gita commentary on that. So, if you keep that picture of the five senses, you can see that this world what you are experiencing or perceiving here is nothing but these senses and sense objects. That is what is called material world. What we call as the material world. So Krishna is saying here, Vilakshanastula Sushmal Dehal Atmyakshida Sudre. How? Yadharunaruno Dahyo Dahagonya Prakashagaham. That Agni or the fire, how the fire burns everything and everything gets destroyed in that process. Krishna is saying here that the fire is different from the firewood, and fire is different from the light and the heat. Fire is different, but the after effect of the fire on the wood is what we are seeing. Similarly, everything what is happening within the body, the mind, intelligence, this is all nothing to do with the soul. The soul is behind it. That's Krishna's point. And soul, just like the fire, is what is firing up everything. The mind, it gets fired up. The intelligence, the senses, the body, everything is functioning because of its presence behind. So, this knowledge is on a theoretical level stays in our head. It doesn't sink in. And this is the most difficult part of spiritual realization. How to come to this understanding what Krishna is talking about? We will agree in principle when Krishna says, yes, yes, that's all correct what Krishna is saying. But again, as soon as we leave the room, we are back into the body again. Why it doesn't come back to us in the same way? What Krishna is speaking with such an authority, Supreme Personality of Godhead is saying this. And still, we cannot come to terms with it. And that is the reason why Krishna has to go talking about it, about the Acharya, about the spiritual master, about the disciple. So therefore, Krishna said, what did Krishna say? Acharyorani adhyasyal andevasuttararani talsandhanam pravachanam vidya santhi sukhavaha. Krishna says here, Acharya and disciple, the Shishya. Acharyorani adhyasyal andevasuttararani. That is the first line. Acharya is the purvarani. Purvarani means the bottom part of the wood. In the sacrifices, when they generate fire, they rub two pieces of wood. That's called arani wood. Arani wood. They have to rub these two pieces together, and in that process, the spark will emanate. With that spark, they will catch fire. And then they will use that fire only for performing sacrifices. Krishna's comparison is like that. Krishna is saying, exactly like you do that in the sacrifice. Similarly, when the Acharya and the Shishya, or the disciple, it is like two arani, two pieces of wood. Acharya is the lower part of the wood, and the disciple is the topmost part of the wood. When these two pieces rub each other, what will happen? Acharyorani adhyasyal andeva sutararani talsandhanam pravachanam vidya sandhi sukhavaha. Talsandhanam pravachanam. The result of that will be, there will be fire from that. There will be fire will be generated at that point, from that relationship, from the spiritual master and the disciple. When that fire is generated, what will happen? Talsandhanam pravachanam. And from there, knowledge will be generated. Knowledge will come. Knowledge will come, and what will happen? Ignorance will die at the same time. When knowledge comes, the result of that will, ignorance will go. Ignorance must go, because knowledge and ignorance cannot stay together at the same time in anybody, isn't it? Either there has to be knowledge or there has to be ignorance. So, if ignorance has to go, knowledge has to come. Therefore, it is spoken that knowledge and ignorance are both coming from Krishna. Some people say only knowledge is coming from Krishna. Ignorance is also coming from Krishna. There is nothing outside Krishna. That is an important point. Talsandhanam pravajanam vidhyasandhi sukhavaha. What normally happens is, due to this friction generated between the spiritual master and the disciple, the ignorance will go, just like ignorance is a product of Maya. And Maya is also a product of Krishna. So Maya withdraws from that person. It's not he, it doesn't mean he doesn't leave Maya, but Maya withdraws. This is what happened. This is important. Because normally we think that, oh, Maya will, I will come out of Maya. I'll come out of Maya. We keep saying like that, isn't it? I have to come out of Maya. Actually, we don't come out of Maya. Maya withdraws from us. This is important. Why? The knowledge of Krishna consciousness is already in a person. What it is the knowledge is covered by Maya. So when Maya withdraws, the knowledge shines forth. It's not that Maya went away and the knowledge came in from outside. It's never like that, because if Krishna is present inside, the knowledge also has to be there. What is unfortunately happened with everyone is that the knowledge is covered by Maya. So Maya withdraws, and when Maya withdraws, he becomes realized. He comes to a platform of self-realization. We'll discuss that later when he comes to that. In more detail, Krishna talks about that later. But important point is, Ajaryurnayadhyasal andevasutararani talsandhanam pravachanam vidyasandhi sukhavaha. That sukhavaha, that there is a happiness from that. That's what Krishna is saying. Because Krishna knows what that happiness is. He is telling us there is a happiness when you get to that stage. Sukhavaha. There is perfect peace in a person. Because he has realized the truth. Because of that, there is peace inside. Up to that point, till come to that realization point, there is all sorts of things going on through the mind, isn't it? Mind is creating a lot of problems to us, and all lots of doubts in our mind, and lot of questions also coming in us. But everything goes away once this happens. That's why Krishna is saying, Vidyas alsandhanam pravachanam vidyasandhi sukhavaha. Sukhavaha. He comes to a peaceful situation at that time. Comes to a peaceful situation at that time. These verses are so important. this is a very key verse in this chapter. Acharyurandyadhyasal andevasutararani talsandhanam pravachanam vidyasandhi sukhavaha. Because it is on the strength of this verse alone, many people have achieved self-realization. Many people have achieved self-realization on the strength of this verse alone. You don't have to study all the Bhagavatam and all the Upanishads, all the Ramayana, Bhagavatam, Mahabharata, everything. There are certain places where Krishna comes forthright and explains things in such a way. Somehow or the other, if it clicks in your head, the point what Krishna is making, that alone can sustain one's spiritual life. That powerful it is, these verses are. That's why Ekadasha Skandam is so much glorified by the great devotees, great jnanis, everyone. Because who else, Uddhava says at the end, and Sudeva Goswami falls down on the feet in front of Uddhava, paying his respects to Krishna, who else will do this to us except Krishna? This was Sudeva Goswami's words, his own word from the heart. That great personality whom we talk about as the whom Sudeva Goswami remembers in his prayers. He remembers, isn't it, about Sudeva Goswami. Sudeva Goswami remembers about Sudeva Goswami like that, isn't it? Then, so that Sudeva Goswami is saying there that who else will serve this nectar like the way Krishna has served. So, Bhagavatam, Ekadasha Skandam, particularly, Talsandhanam Pravachanam Vidyasandhi Sukhavaha. It brings a certain happiness, Krishna says, when you realize this truth. When you realize this truth. Acharyorani Acharyakhyadarasthal Anisavanam Yulashishyaru Votarani Nyavedholbhasidena Putabarido Bhagdina Dakhyamani Karmali Vasanakral Tanubhuvana Bhrandi Kandara Pure Dakya Bhavena Vidya Shikinija Virade Tonmayi Kalyavastaha. In another instance, the same verse, in another commentary, it appears like this. Ajarya Dharanisthal Anusamanam Ilashishyaru Votarani. It's the same thing. That Acharya is the lower Arani, the Shishya disciple is the topmost Arani. When the rubbing starts between the spiritual master and the disciple, when the rubbing starts, what will happen? Spoda paribodhadnina dahyamane. The fire will be generated. And in that fire what will happen? Karmali vasanakral. Karma vasana is inside all of us, isn't it? From various karmam, what we have done in so many lifetimes, it is in us, very much so. It is that karma vasana that is causing all these problems. You must know what karma vasana means. Karma vasana is an important thing. From executing a karma, a particular karma, it develops into vasana in us, isn't it? It develops into vasana in us. That is called karma vasana. And this karma vasana story is very, very important, because when we find that we are not moving further in spiritual life, there is no realization coming anywhere. The only thing that is attributed is due to this karma vasana. Now that is why I said, karmali vasana kral. This karma vasana is not easy to wipe out. That's what is form came out in the form of this prarabdha shariram, or this material body. Material body is nothing but a part of that karma vasana has taken a gross form. That is why this material body has come to us. So, similarly, for future material bodies, the karma vasana is stocked up inside in the sushma karana shariram, which we talked about before. The subtle body is keeping the stock for the future material bodies. In addition to that, what else are we doing? We are adding to that more stock further with our existing activities. So this karmali vasana kal, karmali vasana is the vasana that is developed inside, or which has not fully fructified. They have to go. You cannot, the vasana that has taken a shape already, you can't do anything about it. That is this body. This body is a product of the vasana that has taken a shape already. It has already taken a full shape. You can't do anything about it. All you can do is to wait till it drops off. What you can do is the vasana that is inside us, which has not taken shape yet, which is going to generate new material bodies, that's what has to go. That's why it says here, karmali vasanakal tanubhuvana bhrandi gandhara bhure. What is that? Tanubhuvana bhrandi gandhara bhure means that mistakenly we have identified with the body. And that realization is not going away from us. Somehow or the other, our realization as we are this body is so deep rooted, it is not going away. In spite of all Shastram talking against that, on Shastram telling us that your real identity is not this body. Your identity is not the mind, not the intelligence, not the senses. Your identity is consciousness, bodham, consciousness, which is soul. Still, which is not happening to us. So, what will happen with the disciple and the spiritual master is, karmali vasanakal tanubhuvana bhrandi gandhara bhure. That is one thing. One misunderstanding. What is the second misunderstanding? Second misunderstanding is, this world is real. That it is permanent. And this is where I come to enjoy. I came to satisfy my senses. All these are misunderstanding. That is what it is mentioned. Tanu means the body and bhuvana means this world. Karmali vasanakal tanu bhuvana brandi. That is a brandi. Brandi means a kind of misunderstanding in us. I don't know exactly what the right translation for brandi is. Brandi means it's a sort of madness in us, but it cannot be removed easily from us. It's a type of madness. Brahma means madness. Brahmi is that madness coming from that. When we say this to somebody that you are mad, they will not accept that, will they? That's the most difficult thing also, that it is madness that you have. Tanubhuvanam Brahmi Kandhara Puri. Shastram is telling us, Brahmi Kandhara Puri, that Brahmi is in us so deeper about this body, that we are that body. And that is not easy to come out of it. Karmali vasanakal tanubhuvana brandi gandhara bhure dahya bhavena vidya shikinija virade tonmayi khalvavastha. What will happen? when this real discussion or real contact with the self-realized spiritual master happens for a disciple, what will happen? Dahya bhavena vidya. One after the other, this ignorance inside will start burning in the fire of knowledge. Knowledge is considered to be like the fire. And the karma vasana inside stacked up is like the wood. So the wood, the karma vasana, that will start burning in the fire of knowledge. That's what will happen. And eventually what will happen? At the end of it, karmali vasanakal tanubhuvana brandikandara pure dahya bhavena vidya. Dahya bhavena, it is dhanam is going on there. Dhanam means continuously burning inside. Because this doubt inside that I am not the soul, I am this body, this conviction has to change inside. That's why it said, dahya bhavena vidya shikinija virade tonmai khalvavastaham. What will happen is that once it is all burned, just like the firewood, when it burns, it turns into ashes and it disappears. Similarly, karma vasanas which are inside also, due to the powerful fire that has come in with the sound of power of knowledge, this whole thing will burn inside. Kamavasana will burn. And never again he will misunderstand himself to be the body. This is the beauty of this. Never again he will misunderstand that he is this body. Up to that time he has only understood that he is the body. But after this discussion with the spiritual master and the disciple, what will happen is, dahya bhavene vidya shikini chamirade tonmayi khalu avastha. And that is the avastha, that is the status or the situation in the disciple at that point. That's what Krishna is saying here, that acharya is a fire and from the fire you light the fire. If only if that fire is burning, you can light fire from that. If that fire is not burning, you won't be able to get any fire from there. This is also important. So, we said then, we talked about Sri Narada Maharshi and how the same way this was transmitted from Krishna to Brahma, to Narada, to Vedavyas, to Sudeva Goswami and later on to Parikshit. And this transmission happens because there is only transmission there. There is no question of person there. It's the way the spiritual knowledge gets transmitted from one person to another. That Krishna is, it is only due to Krishna's presence this transmission takes place. Suppose Krishna was not absent within us. Suppose Krishna was absent within us, transmission won't happen. Transmission cannot happen. Because that is where the question comes. When we hear the knowledge, who first acknowledges it inside? It's Krishna who is acknowledging from inside. Antaryami, super soul. It is with super soul's mercy that this realization happens to us. So when the super soul doesn't interact with it, that realization also won't happen to us. That's why it is said like that. That Krishna sat in the heart of Narada Maharshi and asked. Krishna sat in the heart of Lord Brahma and replied, saying about the truth. And similarly, Krishna entered into the heart of Sudeva Goswami and questioned. And Krishna sat in the heart of Vedavyas and answered. So like this spiritual knowledge or the knowledge of the absolute truth is transmitted in that way from one person to another. That's why that kasmayena bhasoda madula jnana pradeepa pura tadrupena naradaya munaye krishnaya tadrupina yogindraya tadatmanada bhagavadradaya karunyada tashuddham vimalam vishogam amrutam satyam varam dhimahi. Srimad Bhagavatam ends with these verses. There it is there that Sudha Goswami acknowledges this point. What in the beginning of Srimad Bhagavatam spoken with Janmadhyasayata, in that verse what was spoken is again confirmed at the end, that this transmission has taken place in this way from Jnana Pradeepa Pura, from Krishna, in the way how the knowledge transmitted through Brahma to Narada, to Vedavyas, to Sudeva Goswami, to Parikshit. In that way how it came down into this world. So every time when we read Srimad Bhagavatam, this is one important point to remember, that Krishna is sitting inside the heart. receives the knowledge, and when he receives the knowledge, he illuminates within us. And that is the reception. That is the reception. It's not something what you can intellectually understand. It's not an intellectual exercise. It is talsandhanam pravachanam. That's why it's spoken like that. That spiritual knowledge or Brahma Vidya, as it is called in the Shastram, is something to be experienced. It's not to be intellectually sorted out. Or because our tendency, everything is we try to capture with the brain first, isn't it? We try to capture with the brain and check it out whether it is right or wrong. Here you don't need to check it out. It just has to be accepted and to be experienced. That's what that difference is between the Brahma Vidya and the Jada Vidya. Jada Vidya is the material knowledge. Jada Vidya is in the brain. Brahma Vidya is in the heart. Brahma Vidya is in the heart. Jada Vidya is in the brain. Jada Vidya is like this. Jada Vidya means knowledge of the material life, material world. It is very much related with Buddhi, with intelligence. Buddhi is also one of Krishna's opulences, Buddhi. But Buddhi cannot take you to the spiritual platform. Buddhi cannot do that. Buddhi is also getting illuminated by the soul. Soul gives that. This is why we were discussing this in the last Sunday also, that the experience and perception are two different things. Experience is what is coming from the soul. Perception is what is performed by the senses, intelligence, etc. So when we experience something, you have to understand. For example, when I am saying something, you say, I have understood that. Where is this statement coming from? It's none of the senses that is responding. It is coming from the soul. When you answer that, I have understood that, it's coming from the soul. When you answer that, I have not understood this, that is also coming from the soul. Because you have not experienced it. That's what it is, the difference. So, I have understood, I have not understood, or I have understood something else. This is all coming from the soul. Soul's potency is showing there. We will come to that later. It's there on the Bhagavatam, everything. All these things are explained in Bhagavatam at different places. So, here, when we come to this, we will see there that Sri Narada Maharshi spoke like this to Krishna. And important point mentioned there was that none of these things is new as far as we are concerned. It's not new. Whole thing is inside us. Whole thing is inside us. And that is very important. In the Brahma Sutra commentary, this is explicitly mentioned. Vedavyasa is also saying that nothing is coming from outside. Everything is inside us. Everything is inside us. Why? Why do they say like that? Because if it is something that has to come from outside, it can leave also tomorrow. That is important point. That Krishna, why in Ishopanishad it says Purnamadam, Purnamidam, Purna, Purnamudachyate, Purnasya Purnamadaya, Purnameva Vashishyate. This body, human body, is complete in all respects for self-realization. It doesn't require any external input into it. It has already got everything what is required for self-realization is already there in this body. What is missing is, we are searching for the truth elsewhere, going around all other places. Maybe he can help, maybe he can help, somebody else can help. Nobody can help, we have to help ourselves. That's why Krishna is saying, Udharedalpanalpanam, that from within from within oneself, that intense desire should develop, and then things will go smoothly. But if you look outside all the time, then this will take a very, very long time. That's why he says here, in Brahma Sutra commentary particularly, he says here, that if the truth has to come from outside, that is not, cannot be the truth. Because this realization of the self or consciousness is already inside us. It's already there in us, in the form of this consciousness, isn't it? That what is the proof that the soul exists? The proof for the soul exists is consciousness. And consciousness or bodham, we call it as bodham. Bodham means that anything spoken that you are able to
accept it within yourself, experience it, that something is spoken, you are able to experience that, that is bodham, bodham or consciousness. And that consciousness is a part of the soul. If the soul was not present there, it will not experience that, it will not experience that truth, what is spoken. It will not experience that truth. Similarly, when topics related to the soul are spoken, what's happening is, if it is understood or not understood, that's also coming from the soul. It's not coming from the senses, mind or intelligence. You are mistakenly thinking that, oh, my intelligence is answering them. Actually, intelligence is not answering. Intelligence will never understand the soul. This is the most important point. Agastya Skandam is stressing that point very much, that intelligence cannot grasp the soul. Theoretically, you can understand many things, but when it comes to experiencing part of it, it will not happen. That's what he is saying here. Then, why is the problem? This is another question, isn't it? If it is like that, if the soul is inside, soul's nature, we know what it is, Satta, Chitta, Anandam, isn't it? Eternal blissful and knowledge. Not only that, Sarvajnyatvam, Sarveshwaratvam, these are all qualities of the soul. That means it has the knowledge, full knowledge, and it also has the, as the super soul present inside, he also has the complete control over the situation. Isn't it? Sarveshwaratvam, Sarvajnyatvam. These are all qualities attributed to the soul. But none of these qualities are presently we are experiencing in us. On the other hand, we are keep saying that we are the soul. So why does that happen? This is the question. The jnanis go to a very deeper level to analyze these things. In the Shastram and Prakarana Grantham, all this is spoken in detail. For those who are keen to know in that route, to follow that route, for them there is abundance, material and knowledge available there. Then if, as the Shastras say, if we are the soul, and if the nature of the soul is eternity, blissful and knowledge, how come that none of that is experienced in the body today? This is the question. So the answer to that is, the soul in its pure form has it still there. But unfortunately, everything is covered up with this thing called mind. Mind and the senses. And the whole thing, the so-called individual today, all of us, is nothing but a combination of, a mixture of all these things. Soul, mind, senses, body, intelligence. It's all in a mixed up form, it is existing. So therefore, the jnani's processes start breaking them up, one after the other. Start breaking them up. Understand what is mind, what is clearly what the mind is, what the intelligence is, what the senses are, what the false ego is, and what the soul is. In the Shastram, the word used is that they say, Munjaniveshida. Munjaniveshida means, when the brahmachari goes to the forest to get darbha grass for the sacrifices, when you pull the darbha grass out, it requires separation for the sacrifice purpose. He has to bring it home, like Ajamila's story and all, you will see. He went to the forest to bring darbha grass for his parents to perform the sacrifice. So he has to spend time on that, separating them out. Munjaniveshinam, it's called. So similarly, Shastra is saying, just like you separate dharma, you have to separate your mind, intelligence, senses, and keep them separating it out, and then you will reach the soul. Otherwise not. As long as we are in the conception that I am this mind, I am this body, and one day somebody will come and sort this out for us, you may have to wait for a very, very long time. You could be waiting for another millennium to happen. That separation business. So that's why Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam gives importance to these things, that we take Krishna's word seriously and start contemplating or reflecting on those things. Otherwise it is then it will not happen. So, Vilakshana Stula Sushma Dehad Almekshida Swadrakka. That Swadrak word you will see here is very much similar to Swarad in the beginning. Remember the word Swarad in the first verse? Janmadhi Sedonnoya Vidras Artesh Abhijna Swarad. Where is that Swarad quality came? Because he is Swadrak. That's why he is Swarad. You see, everything what's happening, he can witness, but he is still independent. When we say about the soul, the greatest quality attributed to the soul is although he is covered with mind, intelligence and all the karma vasanas and everything present in the subtle body, manasa, buddhi, ahankaram, chittam, four things, isn't it? That's the subtle body. So the subtle body is around him, around the soul, self-illuminated soul, but still at the same time he is experiencing this material world and experiencing the happiness and distress of this world all the time, isn't it? But at the same time, Bhagavan is saying he is Swaraj, he is fully independent. He is independent. So this is where our ignorance has come in, Maya's effect on us. And that is what has to be taken out. That's what he said. Where does this come in the Bhagavadam? When Narada Maharshi met Prahlada, he spoke about this to him. Look at that in the 7th canto, 7th chapter. 7th canto, 7th chapter. 12 qualities of the soul, Narada Maharshi spoke to Prahlada. 7th canto, 7th chapter. Let's have a look at that. What he says there is that it is this knowledge that fired up Prahlada from the womb. That's why Prahlada had no problem after he came out from the womb. Isn't it? 7th canto, 7th chapter. Prahlada says there, he says there, that, yeah, 12 qualities of the soul, 12 qualities of the soul. Narada Maharshi spoke to Prahlada in the womb of Kayadhu. Remember the story of Prahlada, isn't it? Kayadhu was going to have this son, Prahlada, and Indra knew he is the son of Hiranyakashipu. Son of Hiranyakashipu. So he could not tolerate Hiranyakashipu, and Indra's doubt was that if he comes out, he could be a bigger demon than Hiranyakashipu. So knowing very well the consequences, Indra decided that I may as well kill this child while he is within the womb of Mother Kayathu, Hiranyakashipu's wife. So thinking that, Indra wanted to kill that child in the womb of Kayathu. So it was then that Narada Maharshi comes on the scene and says to Indra, Narada Maharshi says to Indra that do not touch this child. He is a great devotee. And this devotee, one day when he comes out, he will become the perfect example of a Krishna-conscious person, Krishna-conscious devotee. He will not do any harm to you. On the other hand, he will glorify the Supreme Lord all over the world, all over the creation. So when Indra heard this, he left Kayadhu. Narada Maharshi took Kayadhu to his ashram and kept her there, allowed her to stay there. And Kayadhu, while having Prahlada inside, Sri Narada Maharshi knew who Prahlada was and decided to instruct Prahlada on spiritual life. So the first step in that instruction is to talk about the soul. Look at those verses. Verse number 18, 19, 20. It says here, Janmadya shadime bhava drishtane hasyana almana bhalanam iva vrikshasya kale isharamurtinam. Then, Sri Narada Maharshi is saying there, Narada Maharshi is saying there, that the body goes through six different changes, isn't it? You know, the Shat Parinama Bhedam it's called. What are they? It takes birth, it grows for some time, then it starts creating byproducts, start decaying, and then eventually death. So six different things happens to the body. It only happens to the body. First thing he says to him, you can see this, Narada Maharshi is saying to Prahlada, you can see this while you are, the soul is within the body. How? Just like a tree grows then becomes big, and then it starts giving flowers, fruits, eventually it starts decaying, eventually dying. Exactly the same way, this living entity also, the soul starts, comes to the body and starts growing, like a tree, it says. And the six changes, transformation that happens to the body has no impact on the soul. When the six changes have happened, the soul leaves the body and goes away. All this time, the soul is unaffected by anything what is happening. This is the first thing what Narada Maharshi says to Prahlada about the soul.
Janmanti shadime bhava drishta dehasya nalpana bhalanamiva vakshasya kale isharamurtina.
Why this has happened? Because you have to remember why Narada Maharshi instructed this to Prahlada. You remember who is Prahlada? That also you have to know. In his previous life, why four Kumaras had to come in the form of Prahlada? Sanaka, Sanandana, Sanadana, Sanat Kumara. These are the four personalities who came as Prahlada. Because if you remember when they met together, when they committed that offense in the Vaikuntha planet, when they had to come here, the four Kumaras had to come. The punishment was for both, because they quarrelled each other, isn't it? In Vaikuntha, you don't quarrel. If you go there and create ISKCON there also, then there will be problem. So they won't invite us. Krishna will say, we don't want this kind of ISKCON there, we want proper ISKCON. Because then, if you go there and play all the politics there and all the games there, then Krishna will say, this is a headache for me, sort out. You go back to the material world and run your business there. So similarly, here, our people also, what has happened is that the four Kumaras have straight away said that the punishment is not only for Jaya and Vijaya, for us as well, because we should not have said this. Remember, Sanat Kumara, who they are. Narada Maharshi, spiritual master, is Sanat Kumara. You have to remember that. Sanat Kumara, from Sanat Kumara, Narada Maharshi took instructions. Such a realized soul is going in quarreling in Vaikuntha. So imagine that situation. So will there be any wonder if we go and call them? Sanat Kumara Maharshi himself, who has instructed Sri Narada Maharshi. Narada Maharshi acknowledges that Sanat Kumara Maharshi had to, if you know, I don't know whether you know this story, the very appearance of Subramanya is Sanat Kumara. Sanat Kumara, once it so happened, that Sanat Kumara Maharshi, once in his dream, he saw demons and demigods fighting. Demons and demigods fighting. It was in his dream. And in that dream, he was involved in the fighting on behalf of the demigods, who? Sanat Kumara Maharshi. It was only in the dream. But even though it happened in the dream, it stayed as a vasana inside for him. Karma vasana. So, because his vision is so subtle, he goes to Lord Brahma and asks him, I saw a dream like this in my sleep. I had a dream like this. Demigods and demons fighting. And I was the commander-in-chief of the demigods. Brahma told him, good for you. You have to take another birth. Because that vasana stayed inside. And that is why Sanat Kumara Maharshi had to take birth again, and he came as Subramanya in this world, as Lord Shiva's son. So that birth is purely for knowledge, for distributing knowledge. Subramanyam is called Brahmanyani, isn't it? And even Lord Shiva understood the purport of Omkaram, the sound Om, from his son, Subramanya. So, this Subramanya, who has understood the meaning of Om, the sound Om, explains that to Lord Shiva. And father is receiving instructions from the son there. So, Subramanya had to come, Sanat Kumara Maharshi has to come as Subramanya, because of this little vasana he had inside, which he experienced in the dream. So remember, if it can happen in the dream life, then what will happen to all of us who in our gross life, conducting gross activities and still thinking we are free from that? How careful one has to be in spiritual life. This is what it's indicating. That spiritual life, if we start running like material life, we won't end up anywhere except that more and more material bodies to follow that. That's the result of that. This subtle understanding is what called Prajna Shuddhi, understanding spiritual life properly. We should not enter into spiritual life with the idea of running a materialistic style of life there. It won't work, except that we are creating more bodies for us. That's the only profit at the end. No mercy from Krishna at that point. Because law is law for anyone, devotee or a demigod or a demon, doesn't matter. Law is the law. That is, if Sanatkumara Maharshi had to come for a vasana he has created within his dream, if he has created, then how powerful these vasanas are if it comes to a gross level. When we execute such things in this world with this body and this mind. That's one. Anyway, we are going away from the topic what we are talking about. The subject we are talking about, the soul. So soul, he gave a description of 12 qualities of the soul. And if these 12 qualities are understood, then Prahlada recognizes that. He says, Alma, Nityo, Avyaya, Shuddha, Ega, Kshetrajna, Ashrayaha, Avikriyaha, Sudrika, Hedur, Yadago, Asanya, Anavradaha. These are the qualities. The soul is eternal, nityam. Then avyayam, it doesn't change. It is always the same. Then shuddha. Shuddha means everybody understands. Pure. It's pure. Nothing can contaminate the soul. Then ekam. It's on its own. It's only one, but it is manifested in different people, in different forms, in different persons, it's present. And what else? Kshetrajnaha. And it is occupying the kshetram. Kshetra means the body. So he is the kshetrajna, isn't it? In the Bhagavad Gita also you know that word kshetram, kshetrajna vivaja. It says, isn't it? 13th chapter begins like that. 12th chapter, I think. Where it begins, right? Pradatim Purusham Jaiva Kshetram Kshetrajna Vyavaja. Krishna calls it as, body is called Kshetram, and Krishna inside as a soul is called Kshetrajna. What is interesting here is, Krishna doesn't talk about temples in the Bhagavad Gita, have you noticed? He talks about the body as the temple, not the bricks and mortar temple. Krishna gives less importance. That's only there to assist us in our spiritual life. But importance is given to the body. Krishna says there, Pragatim Purusham Chaiva Kshetram Kshetrajnam Evaja. Kshetram and Kshetrajnam. Kshetram is this. Kshetram actually we translate in English as temple. So body is the temple and Krishna, the soul is the Kshetrajnam inside. So here we say Kshetrajnam. Then what else? Atma, Nityo, Avyaya, Shuddha, Egaha, Kshetrajnaha, Ashrayaha. And he says shelter. Ultimately, we are trying to get there, isn't it? To realize that self, the soul. And what else? Avikriyaha. He doesn't do anything. Soul doesn't do anything. It is our vasanas, our mind, our senses of knowledge, and our senses of action is doing everything in this world. Nothing else. Soul is not doing anything. We are falsely attributing to the soul everything. But soul has nothing to do with this world. Soul is independent, but still is present inside. That's why he says, Avikriyaha, Sodhrika, and he knows everything. He is witnessing everything. Same thing what we saw there before. Sodhrika, Hedur, Vyabaha, Vyabaha, Asangi, Asangya, Anavradaha. Vyabaha. He is spread all over the body. How do we know? Because the presence of the soul all over the body is in the form of consciousness. As soon as you touch the body, somewhere you feel the consciousness. So he is spread all over. All over he is spread. Then what else? Asangi. At the same time, while being present, he is not connected by anything. Although he is present throughout the body, he is not affected by the body. Nothing is bothering him. He is asangi, without any sangam. Sangam means he has no, he does not associate with anything freely. He keeps himself free from everything. He will show his potency through many things, but he himself withdraws from everything. Asangi. And anavavrataha.
Anamrita means that he is covered but cannot be seen by anyone. This is the soul. So, while being the womb of Kayadhu, Naramahrishi knew he will immediately get this message to Prahlada because it is Anakumara Maharshi sitting, that the four Kumaras are sitting. What are these four Kumaras? If you know the creation process, four Kumaras are the first creation, isn't it? In the first creation itself from Brahma, they had come. And first thing, they received the knowledge from Brahma. Kumara Sampradaya must come from that. If you remember, among the four Vaishnava Sampradaya, there is a Sampradaya called Kumara Sampradaya. And Nimbarka Acharya comes in that tradition. He is the one who, personality who has established that system here. So, when the knowledge is received through the four Kumaras, and that parampara, Vaishnava Sampradaya, is called Nimbarka Acharya Sampradaya, Nimbarka Sampradaya. In Vrindavan, they are a very popular Sampradaya in Vrindavanam. They have many temples in Vrindavanam, and they are also worshipping Radharani and Krishna. So, the important thing here is, that these four Kumaras are come as Prahlada. So Krishna knew, Narada Maharshi knew straight away, I only have to mention about the soul, it will click straight away. That's why he spoke to Prahlada. That's why Narada Maharshi is not talking to us when we are in the womb. For the same reason. With Prahlada it was worthwhile talking to for the four Kumaras, because just by giving the 12 qualities to soul, to Prahlada, it clicked straight away. Why? Because all that purva samskaram, the prior vasanas which were present in the four Kumaras were there in Prahlada. That's why without any doubt, only somebody had to give that instruction. And obviously it came from Narada Maharshi. And naturally it was straight away. So then he says here, Ede dvadasha bhir vidvan almano lakshanai parehi, that one who is in knowledge, one who has knowledge, he says here, Aham mame tyasal bhavam dehado mohajam tyajen. This is the next thing he told to Prahlada. What did he say? That one who is in knowledge, he should give up two things. What is that? Knowing well that these 12 things are my real nature, what we have spoken about to Prahlada. He says, these 12 things are the important things are connected with me, and give up the two false conceptions in me, thinking that I am this body, me and mine. These conceptions. Me and mine has come from where? From the body, isn't it? From the body only everything mine has come. Not from the soul. Soul never wants anything to say it is mine. Soul never says that. It's only the body and the association with the body, the mind, together, they make up, this is mine, that's yours, and that's something else. So on a spiritual platform, once you rise to that platform, this me and mine has to go. First thing has to go from there. That's why often the difficulty is this, because this me and mine has not gone away from the people who are leading sometimes spiritual institutions also, because the me and mine has not disappeared very much. They will think that everything they will see from the buildings and the institution will be seen as spiritual life. That's why that attachment coming from. If you have understood a little bit of what spiritual life is, this attraction for buildings and mortars and bricks will go. And you will also find many times in spiritual institutions also, people who have even taken sannyasam also holding danda in the hand, the attachment for bricks and mortar don't go easily. This is a sad story. But there are instances in the history when great, great devotees and great jnanis, they have walked out of the mud because the thing that they were searching for was not there. There was no point in hanging around there. They were not looking for mud and mortar, bricks and mortar. They were looking for the soul. And when they found the atmosphere or the situation is not conducive
for realizing the truth, they walked out from there. There are many instances in the history like that. They did not take it further to think that how I can manipulate the situation for my me and mine business. Me and mine is coming from deepest ignorance, isn't it? So when somebody has not understood Srimad Bhagavatam, when one has not looked into Bhagavatam seriously, you will see their material ego, false ego grows further and further, day by day. And then they will not refer to Bhagavatam anymore, they will refer to their false ego when they want to fulfill what they call in the modern world as the ego trip. So here, as far as the Srinarayana Maharshi's words are concerned, he's only saying here that in 12 symptoms, Narada Maharshi spoke about the soul to Prahlada, and those who are spiritually advancing, you will see these qualities in them, these 12 realizations, and me and mine will go away from that. Otherwise, what is the point in all the spiritual knowledge? Is it simply to quote the verses to somebody, if it doesn't happen to ourselves in our own life? So, that soul which is present within oneself, as the witness of all the activities, who acknowledges that I have understood, I have not understood, and, or you can also say, I don't believe in everything what you have said. So this belief, and similarly, this accepting, rejection and all that, this is all experience, isn't it? It is not perception. Perception I mentioned before, when you see something, your eyes are seeing something. I'm seeing now, say, 30 or 40 people in this room. That's my perception. It's not my experience. If I close my eyes, I don't see anymore anybody. So, the perception is gone. But experience is different. Experience means, if I have to experience something through the senses, I have to perceive something, I have to see through the eyes, or hear through the ears, or smell through the nose, or taste through the tongue, or touch through the skin. The five, say, of this sparsha, rupa, rasa, gandha, five things. But on the other hand, I can experience something by the soul. That when you said something, I heard the sound, but not the sound is important, but the message what the sound has brought to me. That's important, isn't it? The sound is only a vehicle to bring the message to me. The sound vibration, the words, what is spoken, is only a vehicle to bring the message to me. But when I got the message, who is acknowledging? From inside, the soul is acknowledges that. So that is where that difference between perception and experience. The soul's nature is to experience. The nature of the senses is to perceive. That is the difference. So we were saying earlier that in the Bhagavad Gita you will find all these things. Only thing you have to keep digging through it a bit. So that therefore the spiritual master's responsibility there is to start separating it out things. That's where how he begins. He says to him, the nature of the body, he teaches to the disciple. What is the nature of this body? What's the nature of this body? Krishna also starts similarly the instructions to Arjuna, isn't it? Dehinosmin yatha dehe is nothing but the same teaching. That body is changing. Body is changing. That's the first thing to recognize. This changing nature of the body. Similarly, body takes birth. That shows that body has a death also. It has a birth, it has a death. Body transforms all the time. Body eventually starts decaying and body dies. So this will be repeated by the spiritual master to the disciple all the time. When the disciple comes and tells the spiritual master, look, in the ashram, the facilities are not very good in your ashram. So I'm not thinking of staying very long. Can you tell me something? How I can finish up this course and get out of it quickly? Spiritual master, first thing he will say, have you come here to stay in a 5-star hotel? Or have you come to understand what spiritual life is? So the answer to that is, that the first thing is to minimize the importance of the body. Importance of the body. In the sense that as long as we are always thinking about body and bodily comforts, how can we understand the 12 qualities of the soul? Where will that understanding come? So first thing, spiritual master does is, as I mentioned before, Darbhagras is being broken up into, for the purpose of the sacrifice, what is only needed for the sacrifice, they will take it from the Darbhagras. When they pluck the Darbhagras from the forest, along with that a lot of things comes. But when they bring it, only that particular part of Dharma, what they need, they have to pull it out from there, separate it out, and remove everything else. Similarly, they have to remove everything. Mind has to go from inside, body has to go from inside, intelligence has to go, senses has to go, false ego has to go. All that has to go. Only then it can stay on the spiritual platform. So therefore, what he will do, that through these discussions, which you are talking about, Ajanyorani Adhyasyal Andeva Sutararani Talsandhanam Pravachanam Vidyasandhi Sukhavaha. It is at that point what will happen is that little by little the disciple will come to the understanding that why am I giving importance to this body? This thought will come very strongly in him, because every time that thought comes up, spiritual master will tell him that this is what you are talking about, something which is going to die. Something which is going to die, and all the changes that will happen to the body. So by constantly talking about it, the disciple will lose his attachment to the body. He will not give importance to the body, because eventually he will start realizing that if I have to make progress on the spiritual path, I cannot keep on talking about my body and complain about it to the spiritual master. Complain about it to the spiritual master. So this way it keeps on going on. And similarly the mind, whenever mind is disturbing, he'll be told that mind is nothing but a flow of thoughts coming through. That has nothing to do with the truth either. It's also nothing to do with the truth. That's why clear definitions are given for mind, intelligence, false ego and everything in the Shastra. Samshayalpiya manaha, nishayalpiya buddhi. This is the difference. Everything that is doubting is the mind. We know that, isn't it? But still what we'll do? We'll consult our mind, isn't it? Samshayalpiya mana, the definition is very clear. What creates samshayam or doubt inside is the mind.
Yeah.
So, because it is like that, samshayalpiya mana, one should never trust the mind. This is the, one should trust the Shastram, not the mind. But still, we weigh up between the mind and the Shastram and say, mind is telling me like this, so I'll go with the mind. No. So, samshayalpiya mana, nishayalpiya buddhi. What the mind has discussed and thought about, it fixes up in that, buddhi does that. So, different times when the disciple is experiencing in his reflection process, after hearing Upanishads and Bhagavadam and Bhagavad Gita, when the disciple is reflecting on those things, the spiritual master every time will have to tell him whether he is on a bodily platform, or he is on a mental platform, or he is on an intellectual platform, or he is on a spiritual platform. If it's not clarified to him, this change won't happen inside. Because it's all mixed up, isn't it? At the moment everything is mixed up. Mind intelligence. So constantly he will remind him. That is what it is mentioned there. What did he say? Talsandhanam Pravachanam. That flow of things in this way. Vidya Sandhi Sukhavaha. That's where Vidya comes to that person. Sometimes it can happen in many ways in a disciple's case. So disciple says to the spiritual master that, Swamiji, you are telling us that I am spirit soul. And I am Brahman, isn't it? Aham Brahmasmi is being spoken to him like this. So the disciple is saying to Swamiji, if I am Aham Brahmam, I am Brahmasmi, how come I am getting a headache? The disciple is asking the spiritual master. Spiritual master promptly replies, if you have understood you are Brahman, Brahman has no head, first of all. Where is the question of headache comes? Isn't it? So, it is a question of moving that deep-rooted consciousness from the ignorant side to the knowledge side. And that requires continuous effort.
from the side of the disciple as well as from the side of the spiritual master. If the spiritual master is a realized soul, this whole process becomes a lot easier. Because then he is not prone to fall to the same situation as the disciple. So he can actually help the disciple in that state. That's why it is mentioned like that. Then. So remember, we talked about this, this friction between the spiritual master and the disciple. Friction means not the type of friction what we talk about between people. This friction means the friction of questions and answers between the, it's a, like a friction it is. Questions full of doubts coming to him, answers with full clarity coming from the other side, and they start rubbing each other. And when they are rubbing together, in the heart of the disciple, the knowledge will start building up. And the doubts will start burning off from inside. Because the messages that's coming from the realized soul has that potency to remove these doubts from the heart of the disciple. So he will say like this, for example, that we have seen this before also. I am different, body is different, I am different. Body is different, I am different. The three states of existence, Jagrat, Swapnam, Sushupti. Waken state, dream state, deep sleep. Isn't it? The three states of existence. And the Bhagavad Gita comes later. In the Bhagavad Gita also. So, in the Jagrat state, in the waken state, I am there, the body is there, the mind is there, and the mind is there, the body is there, I am there. How I am present in the vacant state? I am present in the vacant state as a witness and as though the doer, aham karta ayam bhokta. All these things are there in the vacant state. I am the doer and I am the enjoyer. All these things in the vacant state. Once you go into the dream state, what happens? The body is gone. Isn't it? Gross body doesn't exist. But the mind is there, I am there. Mind is there, I am there, in the dream state. And when you go into the deep sleep, what happens? What happens in the deep sleep? Body has gone, the mind has gone, I am there. Still, I am there. How am I present there? Not in the form of false ego. Not in the form of false ego. It's not ahangaram, but it is aham bodham. Because it is that aham bodham, I exist in the deep sleep. Is that one, when you come out of the deep sleep, which reminds you that you have been sleeping you were in a deep sleep. That's what it reminds you. That is the proof that in deep sleep also, I was existing. I was existing in the Jagrat state, in the waking state, in the dream state, as well as in the deep sleep. In all these three states, I was existing. So, the important thing to remember here is, in that deep sleep state, what you are conscious of is actually that your existence, astitva, and I exist, that is still there. That's why when you came out, it was able to tell you that you went through that state. Otherwise, nobody was there to report to you, isn't it? If you were not there in that state, who will report to you when you wake up from the deep sleep, came to the vacant state again? Who is reporting to you? It is that you who were there in that state. That's why you continue to exist all the time. So, all the other, for example, Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, that all finished here. That all doesn't exist in the three states. When you go into the third state, those things have gone away from you. All material designations, everything has gone. And because of that, we have to remember that these things, what is imposed upon us by the material nature, they also can, soul can leave it when he wants it. Soul can leave it when he wants it. What we are trying to do today in this world, we always try to talk about brotherhood and we want to bring unity among people, and then we fight against each other in the form of race, religion and language and all sorts of things. Fighting is going on, isn't it? Why is it happening? Because if you simply understand these three states of existence, that these designations even don't come to you in the third state. It's only in these two states even they bother you. So that means their understanding of their own existence is very limited.
If one understands these things, that you can only give that much importance to it, that only in the Jagrat or probably in the dream state they can follow you. But they have to leave you when you go to deep sleep. Isn't it? They have to leave you because you are not welcome there. All these designations what you bring with. I am this, I am that, I am husband, I am man, I am woman, I am this, I am that. All sorts of designations will leave you in the time you go to Sushupti, in the deep sleep. So therefore, in the deep sleep, the only thing is the Astitvam. Astitvam means that Aham Bodham, that consciousness, I am, exists at that time. And that comes back again and changes into Ahangaram, false ego, when you come to the Jagrat state. Jagrat state, Ahangaram takes over, Aham Bodham goes away. If that Aham Bodham exists in Jagrat in the same way, you are a liberated soul. You are in the Brahmabuddha state. You have already come out of it. These are important things in the Raja Skandha, because it is on this understanding that the other chapters are spoken. Other knowledge is being built up also. Example. In the Bhagavatam, when you look, when Krishna appeared in the prison house of Kamsa, Kamsa, prison house, Krishna appeared. Who received Krishna there? Devaki and Vasudeva. Isn't it? They were the first people. And in the Bhagavatam, there is two prayers there. One from Devaki and one from Vasudeva. When you read those prayers, I don't know whether you have thought about this. If you are reading Bhagavatam regularly, you will notice all these things. But if you are not reading Bhagavatam, then you won't notice it also. So, why I am saying this is, Bhagavatam you should read every day. You should find some time to read Bhagavatam. Because it's no point that everything can be spoon-fed. No, it's not that. Bhagavatam is a science. In the sense that Vedavyasa Maharshi has put it together a package for us. And the whole way of realizing Bhagavatam is constantly reading it and thinking through it. And naturally, an ordinary person, anyone like us, when you read that prayers from Devaki and Vasudeva, automatically you will think, why did Devaki speak like this about Krishna? Normally, a baby has appeared in the house. Isn't it? A baby has appeared in the house. Vasudeva and Devaki had a son. Now, normally, will a husband and a wife will speak like the way Devaki and Vasudeva have spoken? If they had a baby, what will they do first? They will first think about bathing the baby and getting food for the baby, food for the mother, and how they could be maintained well. For all, everything on a bodily level they will look at first. Isn't it? And then after some days, husband and wife will think, has he got an inclination for spiritual life? If they are a little bit pious, that's what they will do. But the father and mother doesn't want the child to go into spiritual life, that's sure. What they want the child is, will they make a lot of money in life? So they will write his horoscope, they will go to the astrologer first, to write the horoscope for the child. That's what they want. First thing from the astrologer. And what will be his future? Will he make a lot of money? Will he make his material life a success? If the astrologer says, no, he's going to make him a sannyasi in life, then immediately the parents will get a shock. They say, we didn't want a son like this, we didn't ask for one like this. So, this will happen to them, isn't it? This is the general, normal world. It's like that. Everyone wants their offsprings to have materially very well off in this world. That's what I was hoping for. They don't want them to be understand bhakti, shastram, vedantam, jnanam, vairagyam. All those things. So the old age, 80, 80F, 85 plus. After that you can do all that. But now he should have all these things. What we all have, they should also enjoy. So this is how we bring our next generation, and they will do the same thing to the next generation also. And this way material world goes on. So here what I'm saying is that Devaki's prayers and Vasudeva's prayers, if you read in the Bhagavatam, you will wonder, is this coming from a father and a mother? How can a father and a mother speak like this? Devaki's few lines, if you look at it, we won't go through whole Devaki. Devaki's prayers is a very deep subject. Devaki's prayers in the Bhagavatam. Devaki calls Krishna, Sattamatram Nurvishesham Niriham. Three words is enough. For glorify, for Devaki to glorify Krishna. Sata matram nirvishesham niriham. What he is saying is, Krishna's nature, who you are, Devaki is acknowledging to Krishna, Sata Matram. Sata. Sata means what? The essence. Essence what? Essence of everything in this world. In other words, the soul. That's how she addressed Krishna. Krishna is listening to all these prayers from the father, from Brahma, from the mother, and so many others. Krishna is used to these prayers, so because he is so much used to prayers that sometimes he will make a comment about the prayers, like he did with Brahma. With Brahma he commented straight away, but directly didn't say he wanted Brahma to realize it, because Brahma is intelligent, he understood and he changed the tone of the prayer, which we mentioned before. In Vasudeva's and Devaki's case, what happened was, Devaki recited this verse. That is, I'll just read that verse, because it's something important, all these things in the Bhagavatam. We are only getting now an opportunity to talk about it. We may not get this opportunity again, so we won't see that, whether what will happen. But whatever it is, the demigods have come and gone and left Krishna to Vasudeva and Devaki. So at that time, it says here that the Devaki says to Devaki's prayers begins. Verse 24 in the third chapter. Rubam yaltad prahuram vyaktam adhyam brahma jyotir nirgunam nirvikaram satamatram nirvishesham niriham satyam sakshal vishnu adhyatma deepah. That Devaki is saying to Krishna that you are the person who is present in everyone, self-illuminating, and satamatram nirvishesham niriham, that you are the essence of everything. When Devaki said like this, Krishna thought, let Devaki experience a little bit of that now. Because let that not remain in the words alone. So what Krishna did was, at that point, Krishna gave a spark of self-realization to Devaki. When she got that self-realization, it is at that point Devaki's prayers became beautiful in the Bhagavatam. Purely on a spiritual platform, she is glorifying Krishna. Without that self-realization, Devaki could not have spoken like that. So Krishna gave that self-realization to Devaki to talk from that level of consciousness. Otherwise, what Devaki would have said, oh my son, how beautiful you are, such nice hair you have got, and your eyes are so beautiful, and look at your hands, and let me look at your legs, like ordinary mother does, isn't it? He only sees the body. The mother only sees the body. But Devaki's prayers is so different. He's talking about Krishna's another aspect of Krishna completely. And that was due to self-realization. Krishna gave that knowledge to Devaki to express herself on a spiritual platform like that. But as soon as Krishna gave this, he withdrew that also after a while. Devaki fell back into the old consciousness again. So what happened was, while giving these instructions to Devaki and Vasudeva started at that point from the prison itself, remember that. And it ends up just before Krishna leaves the planet. Up to that time, Krishna has been instructing Vasudeva and Devaki, and Krishna was not totally pleased till Narada Maharshi instructed through King Nimi and the Navayogis, which Narada Maharshi spoke to. That was the last thing Krishna did for Vasudeva and Devaki before Krishna left this world. When we look at Vasudeva and Devaki, we have to remember that Krishna has no father, no mother. Isn't it? What father, mother for Krishna? Who is present in everyone throughout the creation, controlling everything. But for the sake of Devaki and Vasudeva, Krishna appeared. For devotees' sake, Krishna accepted them as their parents for one particular appearance. That's what it is. Similarly, for the sake of Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda Devi, Krishna spent some time with them. Otherwise, like us, what we have for our father and mother, Krishna doesn't have to have that, isn't it? Krishna's position is like that. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead who doesn't have all these sangam, attachment anywhere, at any level, with anybody, for that matter. The very soul of everyone, what attachment, and very nature of the soul is not to get attached to anything. So pure in all samsara times. So that Krishna, when he instructed Devaki like this, he had this intention behind it. He started instructing Devaki at that point, and right up to the point when we see the Ekadasham later, that the King Nimi was instructed by the Navayogis, the nine Kavihari Andaritram, we saw that, four chapters, which was quoted by Vasudev and Devaki by Narada Maharshi at the final moment to understand spiritual life. Imagine how much effort Krishna has done to get Vasudev and Devaki out of this. His own father and mother. So here what happened was, at that time, Krishna said to Devaki and Vasudev that you are my putra bhavena. You can treat me like your son. Putra bhavena. Look after me like your son, no problem. But brahma bhavena chasakrat. You should also think of me as that soul present in everyone, the Brahma, Supreme Brahman as me. Unfortunately, that didn't happen in their life. If you look at that verse in the Bhagavatam, you will see there after Devaki's prayers, Yumamam putra bhavena brahma bhavena chasakal chindayandau krita snehau yasyede malgadim param. Yuvamam putra bhavena, you should treat me like your son. Brahma bhavena chasakrat, you should also think of me, think about me again and again that I am Brahman. Chindayandau krita snehau. If you develop it like that, the thoughts in that way, you will develop the proper attachment to me. Rather than always, normally what does the father and mother think? Father and mother thinks always, oh, he's my son after all. Isn't it? That, there's a way of relating with the son in that. Whatever he does is okay, there's a different style of relationship there. But Krishna is saying here, Chindayindo Kridasnehav. If you are attached to me in that way, you will develop proper understanding and love for me. Not as your son, but that you can have in that platform, but in the form of Brahman. I am the Supreme Truth, Absolute Truth. As yedi madgadim param. If you do that, you can come back to me. Krishna says this to Vasudevan Devaki. Unfortunately, what happened was, the second part of this verse didn't happen. Only the first part happened. Throughout their life, Vasudevan Devaki thought, why do we have to worry about Krishna is with us all the time? He will take care of everything. And every time any problem happened, they'll go to Krishna and Krishna will sort the problem out. That's when Devaki said she wanted to see the six children. Remember? That previously born from before Krishna. One day Devaki got the desire to see them. Krishna goes to Sudhalam, goes to Mahabali. Mahabali find them out where they were, bring them back. Devaki Devi sees them, feeds them with the breast milk, and Parishad is sitting and listening and smiling at the whole thing. What was going on? So, this whole thing in the Bhagavatam is a very deep subject, because why did all this happen? Instructions were given to Devaki, but it didn't happen. What was expected didn't happen. Devaki and Vasudev had a problem in their spiritual life. What was that problem? They performed extreme severe penances and austerities in their previous lifetimes. And in those lifetimes, they were trying to please Krishna. And with only one desire. What was the desire? We want you to be our son. So Krishna says, well, there is no problem becoming your son. But in three lifetimes you have come to me with this request. Yeah? What does it mean? It means that desire is very deep-rooted in a person. Right? When a desire is so deep-rooted, such a desire will come out all the time in some form. We also have such desires in our life. I'm sure every one of us know our weaknesses, isn't it? We have different weaknesses and we are unable to control that. Is it not? We know that. All of us have that in some form or the other. Somebody, form of eating, weakness, big weakness. Wants good food, wants to eat all the time. Well, very well. Somebody has attraction for the opposite sex. That's very strong, very difficult to take away. People fight against that in different ways to escape from that, in different forms, isn't it? Taking their attention away. Because that weakness, it's called asakti. In Shastram, the word used is asakti. Asakti means excessive attachment, which cannot be controlled by a person. He goes out of its control. He cannot restrict that. And he falls. Similarly, it can be for various things. Alcohol, some people, such deep, and then they have to do various things to come out of that. So, this is called asakti. Similarly, Devaki and Vasudeva had this problem in them. What was that? Children. We want children. As a couple, they were happy. So, naturally, the next thing they want is the children. So, Krishna understood, this is not going to go easily, this thought. The only way is, if we want to remove such an asakti, attachment from anyone, is only when he realizes that this attachment is bringing me a lot of distress in my life. Only when you realize that, you will give up that attachment. In other words, if the distress is more powerful than this emotion of attachment, at that time you will give it up. Otherwise you won't give it up. So, because of that, Krishna decided that the only way to stop this attachment from them is bring the 6 children and cut their throat right in front of Vasudeva and Devaki. That's what Kamsa did. Kamsa was actually doing a favor to Vasudeva and Devaki, that by slitting the throat in front of the father and mother, that this is, understand, this is householder life. We give so much importance to householder life, isn't it? Householder life so glorified. It's alright in the material world, all this, but this is all bondage for us while going back to spiritual world. Everything is a problem. So right in front of Vasudeva and Devaki, the 6 children were slaughtered by Kamsa, so that let Vasudeva and Devaki experience what this attachment means. I want a son, I want a son, I want a son. Keep on asking to Krishna. Krishna decided eventually asakti will only go if this is done in that way. Not only that. After the 6 children were slaughtered, Krishna did something else. Krishna won't allow them even to enjoy the 7th child, Balram. Said to shift Balram to Rohini. Rohini is womb, let Rohini go and live with Nanda Maharaj. Vasudeva and Devaki won't get any opportunity to see them. Next, what else he did? Even the 8th, he himself won't stay there. He moves to Nanda Maharaj's place. So Devaki and Vasudeva missed all the childhood pastimes of Krishna, childhood pastimes of Balaram. Krishna didn't allow them to have it for this reason, because of the excessive attachment they had for the children. So similarly, in spiritual life also, when our attachment to anything, to money, to wealth, to fame, to anything in this material world, if there is an attachment in that way, that can become as an obstacle in our spiritual life. Because this is what freedom means. Freedom from the senses. Freedom from the mind. Freedom from the body. This is spiritual advancement. Not enjoying the body, enjoying the mind, enjoying the senses. So, here what has happened in this Devaki's case, that is why that word used there. Satamatram narvishesham niriham. Satamatram. That Devaki, when spiritual realization was given to Devaki, Devaki saw Krishna as the truth, Satta. Satta means the truth, essence in everything. But as soon as Devaki fell back into her material consciousness, she is seeing Krishna, oh my sweet child. Bodily level, bodily attachment begins at that point. So this is what has happened to Devaki. We are talking about that one day, once it so happened that a person said, that I have some weakness. I'm unable to. He has taken to spiritual life. Came to the ashram. He told his spiritual master one day, I have a particular weakness. I cannot get rid of it. So what should I do? You see, things can happen in different ways, even in ashrams also. Don't think all ashrams are heaven and everything is going on wonderful in the ashrams. In the ashrams, the kind of things what happens in the ashram when you think, sometimes you will run back home, thinking that home is better. And many ashrams, all sorts of problems. Not only our ashram, all ashrams, it is like that. Because when we come to ashram, we come fully unprepared for spiritual life. We come with all our garbage, karmavasanas behind us, isn't it? So, two disciples were there in an ashram. Two disciples, for the same spiritual master. So, one disciple didn't smoke. Other disciple always wants to smoke. Even while saying prayers, he wants to smoke. Saying prayers for the disciple. But he won't say this to the spiritual master. He will go out. Sometimes have you seen some people, when they are having in the middle of a serious discussion, they'll say, excuse me for a minute. Have you seen that? If you had attended meetings, and you will notice these things happen. They will just go out, just on one puff, they'll say, come back. And because it's the addiction it is, isn't it? It's addiction like that. So our, these two disciples who were in the ashram also, one of them had this serious problem. The other one didn't have it. So, together, you know, in ashram, the brahmacharis also discuss each other about what they heard from the spiritual master. And that's how normally in the ashrams are. The brahmacharis talk to each other, or the ashram inmates, they talk to each other. What they heard or what they discussed, because they are all both in the same path, going towards the self-realization. So the one who doesn't smoke told the one who smokes, look, you know, you should not smoke, it's wrong. So, but especially when you are living in the ashram. So he said, no, I don't think so, he said. He said, I don't think so. I have to smoke. I can't give it up, he said. So the first one who doesn't smoke goes to spiritual master and asked him, is it wrong to smoke? Spiritual master said, certainly you shouldn't smoke. How can you do smoke after coming to spiritual life? Smoking is a big addiction, isn't it? For some people it is like that. I also know one case. This you may find very interesting. And that personality still lives here in this country. He was going to get initiated. So just before the initiation ceremony, he said, let me go and have one cigarette last. This is how it is. We are like this. Imagine that situation. He says, after initiation I can't do it, so let me have the last one. And he goes to toilet and he smokes and satisfies himself. So these are the people in spiritual life, remember that. These are the people, and this one, he was a leader as well. And so you can imagine the follower situation, what it would be like that. So anyway, what I'm saying here was that this person said to him, don't smoke, because he doesn't like that. And you should pray all the time. That's what's the right thing to do. The first one who doesn't smoke said this. So the second one thought, he goes to spiritual master, and he asks the question in a different way. You see, you can, from the words from a spiritual master, you can twist it whichever way you want it. But that's why the tongue has no bones. So that you can twist it whichever way you like. You see? So he goes and asks like this. The way he asked was that he says to spiritual master that, is it okay to pray while smoking? He puts the question in a different way. So spiritual master naturally gives importance to praying. He is thinking, like we say, you chant the holy name all the time. So we say, is it okay to chant the holy name while traveling in the bus? We say yes, because we will say, at least he is chanting. So spiritual master is saying from that point of view, he is saying to him, oh yeah, you can smoke, you can chant, you can pray even while you are smoking. That's a natural answer to that, isn't it? Because he wanted him to pray, so he doesn't leave spiritual life. So he got the answer what he wanted. He comes back and says to the first one, I asked him, he said, you can, while smoking you can pray. Instead of asking that, can I smoke while praying? He said, while smoking can I pray? He twisted the whole thing. This is spiritual life. This is how spiritual life goes.
So, why I was saying all these things was, coming back to the point, I've forgotten all that now. I just want to go like this. We'll go back to the words, because otherwise we won't get there. So, well, excessive attachment, coming back to the attachment. Attachment is like that. So, there's only one thing you can do. When you are caught up in this situation like this, attachment anywhere in this world, which is coming as an obstacle in spiritual life. Spiritual master says, simply cry in front of Krishna and say to Krishna that I am unable to come out of this attachment. And when Krishna decides, he will give you a dose in such a way, and the distress that comes from that will be more powerful, that your attachment will eventually go. Leave you. Otherwise attachment won't go. Asakti is such an important thing. Asakti is such a powerful thing. Because you know in Shastram, Putreshana, Dharyeshana, Miteshana. These are called Eshanatrayam and Logeshana. And Logeshana is a part of this. What Eshana means? Eshana means this attachment. Eshanatrayam means the three things. Attachment to wife and children, attachment to wealth, attachment to fame. These three things are there in everyone and it will keep appearing in different subtle forms in spiritual life as well as in the material life. And as long as this Eshanatrayam is there, spiritual advancement is not possible. Why? Because you will be trying to fulfill this Eshanatrayam. The three Eshanas, you will be trying to fulfill that. And you can see that even after coming to spiritual life, sometimes these things overpower you. The Eshanatrayam. And at that point, you are helpless. You can't do anything about it. You won't know. It is in a subtle level, it is catching you. The Maya catches you in a very subtle level. Eshanatrayam. If, especially Logeshana. Logeshana means you want recognition from the world that I am a big spiritual personality. Everyone should worship me. Everyone should follow me. And I am pure. I am a great soul. This thought, in a very subtle platform, it's working inside. And that is called Logeshana. And these Logeshana, Viteshana, Putreshana, Dharyeshana, these are the things, Eshanatrayam. It is discussed in the seventh canto, Saptamaskandam, these things are spoken about. So, when these things happen, and when you know what, don't know what to do about it, the only thing you can do is to say to Krishna that this is what is now causing me the problem. I don't know what to do. Krishna has to give you some distress in some form. Either give you a powerful sickness or some kind of distress that will make you think that I have to come get out of this. Otherwise you won't get out of it. There are certain things in spiritual life like that. Spiritual life is not all that much one you can plan from your mind. No. It's not like, it doesn't work like that. So that's why Devi and Vasudeva had to go through this. So anyway, Krishna gave them the opportunity to experience the soul at that time. Asalkrit chindayendo, it was spoken there like that, isn't it? Asalkrit chindayendo. That asalkrit means that you only see the satta. Satta means the soul. And asalkrit chindayendo, that whatever we have heard. You see, Krishna is kind to Devaki and Vasudeva because Krishna wanted them to go back to the spiritual world. Don't relate Krishna and Vasudeva and Devaki in the way we relate to it in this world, between our parents and us. Don't relate like that. Because there is a higher purpose. For purpose Krishna had come. Krishna has accepted Vasudeva and Devaki for this appearance in this world. Through them, Krishna came here. Because Krishna wanted to give them that mercy, so therefore the knowledge has to be given to them. And for that it was an opportunity through the appearance. So that's what they have done. Asatkrit chindayandoma. Think about Krishna always as Sat. Sat is the essence. In that way, Krishna says to them. But, important thing here is that this Satyam, this truth, who Krishna is, we are reading all these things in the Bhagavatam, but it is not staying in us. Isn't it? Krishna is the truth, no doubt about that. Shastram is telling us, acharyas are telling us, devotees are telling us. But somehow or the other,
although we see Krishna in the deity form in the temple, and we hear about Krishna from Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita and all that, still very difficult for us to recognize and acknowledge that Krishna is the absolute truth. Isn't it? We still see Krishna as somebody maybe a little bit powerful than us. Maybe he appeared 5,000 years ago, he has gone away. In that way, we have our mind takes us into another world of Krishna. But that is not self-realization. That's not realization. Realization is, this truth what Shastra has told us, what the Acharyas have told us, what the devotees have told us, if that becomes our realization in this very life, then you can say you have realized the truth. That's what Krishna is saying there, that this truth is already there in us. Why? Because Krishna is present within us as the super soul, isn't it? He is present within us as the super soul. Still, we are not able to connect with that, realize that within us. It's available, but not realizing. This is our present state. It's available, but not realizing. Well, not realizing. It is Siddha. That is what it's called, Siddha. So, realized soul will always say, realized souls will say, that truth is in your hand, hasta amalagam, that's called. Amalagam is a fruit which is right in your hand, you can eat. To such an extent, Krishna is present within us as the super soul. Present within us as the super soul. But in spite of that, we have no idea about Krishna. We have no idea about Krishna, we have no relationship with Krishna, and we are struggling very hard, day in, day out, to understand where is Krishna. We are searching for Krishna, is it not? This is our life today. In spiritual life, for a very, very long time, you are executing your sadhana, chanting the holy name, following the principles, and attending all the programs, everything you are doing. And after 20, 30 years, you are thinking, where is Krishna? You are searching after him. You are not seeing him still. This situation happens to everybody in the sadhana. So it is at that time Bhagavatam is saying, that this thing what you are searching after is already there within you. Only thing is that recognition has to come from you. It is not coming from you. So that is why Srimad Bhagavatam again and again will remind us to go back to the super soul and to see him there. And that presence of the super soul. You see, when we talk about bhakti and all, we have misunderstood a lot of things about bhakti. We start thinking bhakti means all this ardi I am doing, or all the money I have given to the temple, or all the... they are on a different platform to come to the stage of realization. They are there to help you to come to the stage of realization. Or I paid all my obeisances to all the gurus, all the disciples, all everyone in this world. And I have taken so much prasadam. This is all my bhakti I have exhibited like this. But they are okay. They are there to help you to settle in that level. But important point is this realization, which is much more important, because a stage will come in life when you cannot still find fulfillment from all that. They have to go. And in place of that, something else has to come in a much serious level. And that serious realization is what Krishna is talking about in Ekadasha Skandam. That serious realization, because if at the age of 60 and 65, oh, still I'll sit in front of the deity, I'll bring my flowers, I'll do the puja, I'll finish my, and then I go to stock market checking my shares value, then that is not bhakti. That's not bhakti. But proper bhakti is Krishna is talking about here. What is Krishna saying? That understanding that the super soul is within, when that knowledge you have realized, that is knowledge. Krishna's definition. Siddhavastu. Siddhavastu means Krishna who is present within as the super soul or Antaryami. The word used is, Ramanujacharya uses the word Antaryami. He gives importance to this word Antaryami. Antaryami means Krishna's presence within inside as the super soul. When one realizes and realizes that knowledge, that is, realizes that thing, that understanding, that is knowledge. When he realizes that, that is knowledge. When he has realized, and in that process, when he is going, when you start taking, when you start driving your attention from the world to that object, Krishna inside, that is bhakti. See the difference between bhakti and jnanam? Bhakti, when you take your attention from the external world and withdraw everything and goes towards Antaryami, super soul within, as Krishna, and start seeing him and realizing him, that is knowledge. When you shift your attention from outside world and directed everything towards Krishna, towards super soul inside Antaryami, that is bhakti. That is the best definition of bhakti. Not the, all the other things what we do in this world. That is there only to bring us to this point. And a thoughtful person will go through these verses in the Bhagavadam again and again and establish himself in that position. He would not be carried away by the rest of the world, what the world does. The world will go in one direction today, another direction tomorrow. But the knowledge remains steady. It doesn't change. That's why, first thing, we have to understand ourselves, our body, our mind, our intelligence, our ego, everything in relationship with our own body, and separate it out, everything from that, and see the soul within. Krishna is present within, inside, everyone as a super soul. And that is the most, best location where to search for him. Not elsewhere. He is present. Why is he present there? Because for a conditioned soul who is in trying to inquire the truth, he should be accessible for him. And that is why in the Ekadasha Skandam, when we started talking about spiritual master, how did Krishna begin? Atmano Guru Atmaiva Purushasya Visheshada Pratyakshena Anumanabhyam Shreyasa Anuvindade. You see the first verse, we discussed about this verse a lot. Atmano Guru Atmaiva, the first spiritual master is Krishna from within, who prompts you to start looking into a spiritual direction. We think that, oh, where Krishna? Who knows about Krishna? Spiritual master is going to teach me, or somebody else is going to teach me later. They comes much later. The first, the beginning of your spiritual life is who prompted you from within to come to spiritual life. That's Krishna. That's why the first spiritual master, Atmano Guru Atmaiva. Bhagavatam says this. It's not anybody else's concoction. Atmano Guru Atmaiva Purushasya Visheshada. And Pratyaksham Anumanabhyam Shreyasam Anuvindade. This verse we had spoken before in depth. So, from there you can see that completely ignoring this, Krishna's super soul aspect also, Antaryami position inside, we may sometimes go after less important aspects of spiritual life. Thereby we get trapped in that and we will waste a lot of time in that process. This will be the result of that. So here, important thing to remember here is, Bhagavatam, if you study, all these things get very clear in your head. If you don't read Srimad Bhagavatam and if you don't think about all these things, you will do what everybody else is doing. And what is that? Many other people, because they don't have the time to read Bhagavatam, and they think that they have to get inspired by somebody, and they go after that somebody, and somebody goes and falls somewhere tomorrow, and that body also leaves, this body also goes in the same way. This is what will happen. This is why Srimad Bhagavatam is important. Bhagavatam is giving clarity to everything. There is no doubts on all these things. Why did Krishna instruct Uddhava for this? So that people who come later study Srimad Bhagavatam and take the benefit from that. So here, in this situation also, you will see there, what you have got. We have got Krishna now with us, but we are not experiencing it. We are not enjoying it. This is the reality, isn't it? Krishna is within us, but we are not enjoying it. It's just like the insurance money. You got, say, you took a, what is called an insurance policy. And you know when you retire, you will get a huge lump sum amount of money, endowment or something, whatever they call it. Nowadays even that's not sure. But even that insurance is not, but it's similar, something similar to that. But this is insured, guaranteed. This one, what Krishna is talking about is guaranteed insurance. It's not the, it's not the insurance what the governments these days offer. But similarly, it's already there. You know you will get a certain amount of money at the end. But only when you get it, you can say you got it. Isn't it? Similarly, Krishna which is present inside also, you have to get it. Only then you can say, I've got it, isn't it? So, Siddham, it is already there. Shastras are telling us it's already there. Search for him, you'll find him. And those Bhagavadam is nothing but the story of those personalities who have searched and found like this. Who have searched and found like this. This is where, once you study Srimad Bhagavatam, these doubts will go from inside. Because these personalities, take for example, if you go into Srimad Bhagavatam, in the fifth canto, we have the story of who? The great personality, they are called Rishabhadev. You remember? Rishabhadev, we discussed this, Rishabhadev's story. Muktim dadahi karhi jils mana bhakti yogam. There is a verse in the last line. This is at the end of, when Rishabhadev was giving up his body, Parikshit Maharaj was listening to the story from Sudeva Goswami. Sudeva Goswami glorified about Rishabhadev, who Rishabhadev was, and Rishabhadev's teachings, instructions in the Bhagavatam are very important. Instructions in the Bhagavatam. So after hearing all those instructions, Parikshit Maharaj thought, at least if I was present there, how nice it would have been. When Rishabhadev was giving up the body. Why? When Rishabhadev gave up the body at that time, this happened in the state of Karnataka, where, you know, there is a place called Kudajadri. That's where there is a famous temple there for Durga Devi's temple called Mogambiya. That temple is not far from there where Rishabhadev gave up his body in that hill. So, when Rishabhadev gave up the body, the eight siddhis came to serve him. You know what the eight siddhis are? Anima, Mahima, Lekhima, Garima. It goes like that, eight of them. Anima means you can become smaller than the smallest. Lekhima means you can become lighter than the lightest. Garima means you can become bigger than the biggest. Like that, there are siddhis which you can acquire in this world. Their personified forms, they came to see Rishabhadev. Because Rishabhadev was Krishna's another incarnation, isn't it? To teach spiritual life in this world. So at that time, all these Ashtasiddhis came and they wanted to serve Rishabhadev. Rishabhadev told them, I don't want any of your services. He point blank told these siddhis, who are you? He asked them first. So, Rishabhadev asked them, first, as though he didn't know who they were, they had come only to deviate his mind. This is one aspect of self-realization. When a person is trying to go back to the spiritual world, demigods come to obstruct them. And similarly, these siddhis are also part of that team, who comes to deviate you from your path towards the spiritual world. They don't like us getting liberated. Demigods don't like us getting liberated. They will come, they will put some blocks on the way. They will invite you to their planets and give you all kinds of facilities there, and you may forget the idea of going back to spiritual world. You feel like staying there because of the 5-star facilities they offer there. So here, whatever has happened, these Ashtasiddhis came to serve Rishabhadev. And Rishabhadev was thinking of giving up his body. So Ashtasiddhis came and Rishabhadev, and they started singing and glorifying Rishabhadev. Rishabhadev asked them, who are you? They couldn't cover up the thing, identity, and they told them that we are these Ashtasiddhis. So Rishabhadev said to them, what do you want from me? They said, we want to serve you. Rishabhadev says to them, I don't want any of your services. Saying that, he takes a stone, puts it into his mouth, and eventually enters into the fire to give up his body. Parikshit Maharaj is saying at that time, all those animals, birds, bees who were in the forest, they all got liberated with Rishabhadev back to the spiritual world. They all got liberated. Sudeva Goswami said this in the Bhagavatam. When Sudeva Goswami said that, Parikshit Maharaj was thinking like this, look at my situation. If I had born at that time, even as an animal or bird in that forest, when Rishabhadev gave up the body, I would have been in the spiritual world now. But here, now what am I doing? I have taken a dead snake and put it on the throat of this sage, and I am sitting here waiting for the reaction to come.
This was going through Parikshit's mind. You will see that when you go into Srimad Bhagavatam in that part. That is the part in the 5th chapter. I'll read that verse to you because it's an important thing that how the body was given up. Parikshit gave us in the 5th canto. You will see that in the thing. It is in the 6th chapter.
Rajan
Padar Guru Ralam Bhavadam Yadunam Devam Priya Kulabadi Kojakingaroa Astueva Manga Bhagavan Bhajadam Mukundo Muktim Dadadi Karhichil Smana Bhakti Yogam. This is Sukadeva Goswami's concluding verses. What is he saying? My dear king, saying to Parikshit. Rajan Padir Guru Mulam Bhavadam Yadunam, for you, for the Pandavas, and all for the Yadavas also, who was present here as your protector and shelter, and as your friend and who has looked after you. Krishna is doing all these things for you. But Krishna hands over liberation to everyone who worships him. Muktim dadadi karhichil smana bhakti yogam. He hands over very freely liberation to them if they approach him in the right way. But never devotion. From there you can understand that devotion is not something very cheap. We are all calling ourselves devotees, isn't it? Very confident we are about ourselves. We are all devotees because I got my tilak on. And I got my dhoti on. And somehow we call ourselves devotees. But Srimad Bhagavatam is telling us, Muktim dadadi karhidil smana bhakti yogam. Muktim dadadi, Krishna gives liberation easily, but not bhakti. That is the greatness of bhakti. Bhakti is something which comes after mukti, after liberation. If you look into Bhagavad Gita, you will find this. What did Krishna say there? Brahma Bhuda prasannatma na shojadi na kamkshadi. That is the Brahma Bhuda stage, Brahman realization. First thing is, na shojadi na kamkshadi. You have come out of all this. Then what happened? Samasarveshu bhudeshu. You are situated on a platform where you are seeing Krishna's presence in every living entity. In other words, you are equal to everyone. That's what it means. When you say you are seeing Krishna in every living entity, that means that you are equal to everyone. Then you cannot, if you are seeing Krishna in everyone properly, you won't discriminate with you. No, he is my friend, he is my enemy. Or he is temple president, he is only a bhakta. All these thoughts are coming from ignorance, isn't it? Spiritually person should not speak in those terms. In the office he can speak, yes, he is chief executive, or he is the big boss, chairman, managing director, or he is an engineer, or he is a shop floor worker. All these kind of things in office you speak. And there you see like that. But in the spiritual life also, if you start looking at people through that eye, and you start seeing people in that eye, there's not much difference in the factory worker and the spiritual personality. Bhagavatam wants us to free ourselves from this kind of understanding. That's why Krishna says here, samasarveshu bhudeshu means that you are seeing everyone on an equal level. After that Krishna says, mad bhaktim lebhade param. After that you will get bhakti towards me. Parabhakti, that is proper bhakti. That is proper bhakti. Man bhaktim labhade param, Krishna says. So Bhagavad Gita, that verse was meant in this, keeping this in the mind. That's exactly here also. He says, Muktim dadadi karhi chil smana bhakti yogam. Muktim dadadi, Krishna gives mukti freely, but not bhakti. Bhakti yogam is much more. Krishna thinks twice before he gives bhakti to anybody. And there is a reason behind it. Krishna can offer mukti to anybody and he goes back to the spiritual world, gets liberated and gone.
But if he gives bhakti to somebody, Krishna has to think a lot before he gives that. Because once he has got a bhakti, Krishna says, then I am his servant. That is Krishna's problem. In the Uravasham, later Krishna will say this. Krishna says, devotee is somebody who is so dear to me. For me, there is nothing in this world. Everything in this creation is after a devotee. And while talking to Uddhava, Krishna is recognizing this and saying this. Do not think devotee is a cheap thing. They're talking about, again remember, the type of devotees Krishna is talking about. Not us, he's not talking about us. Definitely not. So, Krishna's definition of bhakti is like that. On that platform, Krishna is saying, when one has got that bhakti, the next thing I have to do is, I have to follow them all the time. Why? Krishna says, I want to take the dust from their feet and put it on my head so that I can be pure. This is Krishna. Nirabeksham munim shandam nurvairam samadarashinam anuvrajamyaham nityam puyeyetyangrivenubhi. Ekadasham. Krishna is saying to Uddhava, Uddhava, it is at that point I lose the battle. I can't do anything after that. When I see that kind of devotee, what do I do? Nirabeksham. He is talking about the devotee. What kind of devotee is? Nirabeksham. Nirabeksham means he has no desires of any type, material or spiritual in him. Munim Shandam. He is also thoughtful and he is also peaceful. Completely peaceful with the world. No desire, absolutely nothing in existing in him. Krishna loves to see someone like that. That is the reason when Krishna sees us, he runs away for the same reason. Because our list is so big when we go to Krishna. Krishna says, look, with this list, I don't think I can help you very much. Nirabeksham munim shandam nurvairam samadarashinam. Nurvairam. Nurvairam means he has no enemies. He has not created any enemy. In the spiritual life today, what do you see? There is so much enmity among the devotees also. Where did this enmity come? Because Bhagavatam has not gone in. That's all I can say. How did this enmity develop like this? If we are devotees, and if we are following Krishna, and Krishna's instructions are absolute, how come that this quality is not coming? Nirabeksham munim shandam nirvairam. Nirvairam, that freedom from enmity towards anyone. Why? Samadarshinam, seeing equally everyone. That equal vision is important. When there is no equality in the vision, what will happen? Sometimes these things are worthwhile thinking about. When there is no equal vision, you will think someone is good, someone is bad. Duality starts from there. Ragam, you will have attachment to the person whom you think good, and you will have aversion towards someone whom you think is bad. So attachment and aversion is coming from this duality. So that's what Krishna is saying. Munim shandam nurvairam samadarshinam. And such people, such devotees, Krishna says, anuvrajamyaham nityam. I follow them, Krishna says. Why? Puyeye tyangri renubhi. When I follow them, and when they walked over, I take the dust from there and put it on my head. Krishna says, so that I can become pure. Look at Krishna's humility. This is Krishna. Srimad Bhagavatam is a science related to devotion and knowledge. They are both present in there. And in Krishna will glorify the position of a jnani, Krishna will glorify the position of a devotee. And eventually, in Ekadasha Skandam, Krishna will say to Uddhava, nothing else in this world is worthwhile achieving than pure devotion to me. And if jnanam can help in that way, it should be utilized. But in Krishna's estimation, pure devotion to Krishna or Krishna consciousness is the ultimate goal of life.
Hare Krishna. I'll stop there. All glory to Srila Prabhupada.
Jai. Jai.